following two testimonies, praise to God, serve really a dual purpose. First, it is the family's desire that you all hear of the powerful and the compassionate ways that our Lord, Lord God, sustained Natalie Ellen and her family through this time of suffering and sorrow in these past months. It is fitting for us to tell the marvelous deeds of the Lord, and tonight is a good occasion to do just that. But the other purpose is also for those of us, many of us who are here, prayed for and encouraged for and supported the Roper family for many months, though we never actually got to see them during that time. Some of us did. And for that reason, I thought it would be a good and appropriate thing to have a couple of men who are eyewitnesses to this thing, to this whole ordeal, to the period of affliction and suffering, to tell their account of God's grace, both to Natalie Ellen and to her family and to them. And so what we have tonight is Pastor Johnny Serafini. He's the pastor of Heritage Reformed Congregation in North Jersey, and also Mr. Mallory Davis. So I'd ask first Pastor Johnny Serafini, please come and tell us of the Lord's word.
When she would be sent home because the information was this is not working. In her heart, she had contentment because she could go home early. And we had to talk to her and help her understand. Do you know what that means? It means we need to try something else. But it's like she just saw that day she could go home, be with mom and dad, and go back home. There's this heart of contentment, whatever the Lord would bring. One thing also in terms of contentment was when she was in the hospital during one of the treatments, someone brought how the world seeks to bring comfort and contentment. Someone brought a pamphlet to her that had the phrase, the title, "You're Too Young for This," which is so sad. It's the world's way to comfort someone who's in affliction is almost with a spirit of rebel against this, and maybe you'll have some comfort. When my wife came to visit her, she said, "Aunt Barry, can you believe some people think this way?" She said, if I weren't sure that this is God's sovereignty for my life, then I would despair. So contentment is the gift of the Spirit, and she had that gift. And another word that comes to my mind in being right beside her so often in the family is the word heaven-mindedness. She was so heavenly minded in her affliction. She understood that if the Lord did not work or operate a miracle, as we always believe He's powerful to do, that heaven was ahead. And one thing that comes to my mind is how when she did receive this gift that had the title that was on it was "To Live is Christ." And she had the thought of writing right below it, "And to die is gain." She just had heaven before her as where she knew the Lord was preparing her for. And then another phrase that comes to my mind is this desire for God's glory. Contentment, a heavenly mindedness, and a desire for God's glory. There was one day that she was there at the end of those three lineups of treatments, and the information was clear that she had to stop being treated. They weren't working. And the pain had increased very greatly. She was at the hospital. Her doctor had just visited her with loving words, trying to help her understand the seriousness of what it meant. The thought of the fact that death would be impending was, the doctor was trying to speak somewhat openly about this from the very lips of Natalie Ellen, and asking, what do you think about all this? Natalie just said, death is not natural. She had a heavenly mind, but she's human. She understood that death is a last enemy. But after the family came back in and we were talking with her, I wanted to help her understand how the Lord is using her, and I just shared, I want you to understand, Natalie Ellen, you have to understand this one thing. God can use this to bring some comfort to you. God is using this affliction in your life, in the lives of many, many people. You are being used. There is a very big reason. It is God's glory. And she said, just in a very matter of fact to that, she said, I always have prayed that God would use me for His glory. But I didn't understand it. I didn't know it would be this way. But in, like I said, not in a complaining way, in a matter of fact way, in a way that was ministered to our hearts and made it all the harder in undergoing it all in terms of the grief and the sadness. But such a joy to see how the Lord had been working in her heart. And that same day that we were there, and the thought of the treatments just haven't ended, and now we'll just try to take care of your pain, I brought the passage of Mary having sat at the feet of Jesus, and how she had chosen the best part. And I had even mentioned that that's how God is using you, because everyone sees that you much rather Jesus and to be at His house. Through all she was going to my congregation while they were there, and the people saw it. She had in a sense to be home, to be resting during the treatments, but it was the hardest thing to keep her home. She wanted to be with God's people. She wanted to hear God's word. And it's in that way that I thought, you were like Mary. You were choosing the better part. You were wanting to be with Jesus, and it's in that way that the Lord has been using you. Then I asked her, is there another passage you would like me to read? And she said, well, read to me about Lazarus. And so we went to the whole portion in John chapter 12, and I just want to share the verses where we stopped at and talked and meditated upon, because they were so real in her experience. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And in that whole context, verse 26 became so very palpable and real, because the context of death was in the air. She had been talked to by the doctor. We had been trying to comfort her and seeing the Lord's hand in this. And this verse comes and says it, in essence, she won't die. In believing in Christ, those who live shall never die. And so we were able to talk to her so freely that this death that's coming is not a final death. And Jesus is in essence saying, don't even see this. This is not the second death. That's what death really is. Those who die without the Lord. And that there is resurrection, there is life. And then two more words. One is the word joy. It's hard to not think of joy, because this is what she so clearly pronounced in all these last weeks that she was in the hospital, often a whole day without talking because she was sleepy and tired and aching. But if she was somewhat awake and you were able to talk a little bit with her, the first first thing often she would do is give a smile and give a grin. And one wonderful gift of the Lord to the family was, here was Wednesday and the Lord took her on Sunday. On that Wednesday, the Lord gave her an extra amount of awakenedness where she was able to relate and communicate so many things. And the word joy comes to our mind because of so many precious moments of joy. She asked, what day is it today? And someone in the room said, it's July 1st. And she would have whispered, it's the first of the month. Which is a family game. Every first of the month, we try to get each other first. And she said that, and the whole idea was everyone forever has been, you've beaten everybody. And she wanted to know what time it was in that day. And she was in such a spirit of joyfulness, even amidst the eighth was there as well. We asked her, while she was somewhat, we wondered if she was sleeping, and we just asked her, would you like to have a tea party? And she just grinned and went like this. We asked if she would rather England or Scotland, and she said, Scotland. And she was hugging people. She was not letting our hands go as we whispered our love to her. And someone in the room would have said, Natalie Ellen, I love you to the stars and back 10 million times. And she said this. She first prefaced it and she said, but you can't beat this. And then she said, I love you to the edge of the universe and back. And you can't beat that. And then someone did say, I love you more. And she said, you can't. And all of this, what she said, wasn't like I'm saying it. She said it in whispers and hardly opening her eyes. And we had to be really close to hear. She was just sending forth moments of joy to share with us. And the last word that I can say, there's so many words that we can say. Gratitude, peace, and love. I want to speak of the word love. Because what we witnessed was a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't one time only that after her moments of tears where she kind of thought of the fact of impending death, yes, she would wept and cried, but at the end she would just say, but Mama, I'll be with Jesus. Because that moment in the hospital wasn't there where the children were all crying and weeping. They decided to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, try to cheer up all the children. But they kept crying. And Natalie Ellen mentioned, don't cry. You just say, Jesus loves you. He does love you. And so we've been so ministered by someone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is really what explains the contentment, the heaven-mindedness. Her heart was in heaven. And this desire for God's glory. And so we speak again, yes, all these things that are so